Hey everyone, Jared here from Storytowns, and in this podcast, we have joined with the Southern Grampian Shire. I'm talking to Hugh Coff and Colin Thompson, and if you're a business, Colin was an accountant for 30 years, and to make things easier for businesses, he actually made a list of grants and subsidies you can get from the government at this stage. So in this podcast, it's me, Hugh and Colin talking about those grants that you may have missed. If you go to visit greaterhamilton.com.au, you can download this list. And there's plenty of other helpful tools to get you through post-COVID also. So let's jump into it. This is my chat with Hugh Coff and Colin Thompson. You've been to the rescue 8 weeks ago. Hugh, start us off.
Oh, goodness. It's certainly been an interesting time for our businesses and for our economy trying to cope with COVID-19. Obviously, it became very apparent that the governments had to get some money out into the economy very quickly to support, one, the economy, but also businesses of all sizes. They had two ways of doing it, through the social service area and through social security, which is what they did through Centrelink and others, and, of course, then through the taxation system as the two stand-up methods. As a result of that, we saw very quickly we were going to need some advice to be able to assist businesses to understand the plethora of support which was being offered. It was the first thing, I think, than anything else, is there's never a playbook for something like this. I think we've been through disasters before, but there wasn't a playbook for something which was so immediate, was so global, and looks like it's going to be so long-term. So thinking about that, there's obviously some strategies in place that we at Southern Grampian Shire trying to assist businesses with, and really this is an opportunity today to probably reflect on some of those. And more importantly, as we sit now with, we're now week eight, we're starting to see some green shoots now. The language has changed from being stay at home to stay safe. That means we're going to start getting more and more people starting to move around again. And you know, once we see schools go back, once we see again the green shoots of the economy start, it's going to be business as unusual, and that's what we're effectively preparing, you know, businesses with and for businesses now. Our role at Southern Grampian Shire and the Economic Development and Tourism team has always been about facilitation and been trying to support where we can. We are very early on, and it's been very fast moving. So a lot of the decisions which we've taken, we hope we've certainly made the right decision. We seem to have had a very good feedback from business in relation to some of the supports which we've done. A lot of that is sitting on the greater on the Business Greater Hamilton website. So it's businessgreaterhamilton.com.au. We've got everything there from the community and business directory, which is about what people are up to now while they're trying to innovate to get through this time, all the way through to the business support packages, and indeed a distillation of all the support which is out there in very common terms. One of the key things for us, though, when we first had a look at this was very early on, was we realised we needed that financial assistance, that financial support, financial skills. That's what businesses were really looking for. We realised very quickly that all the accountants were, it was a new game for them as well. With the way that support was going to be offered through the taxation system, it relied on getting BASAs done and so forth, and that was, you know, a lot of people were feeling very swamped. They didn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. We were very lucky. We've had a great relationship for a period of time with Colin, who's with us today, of course. Yeah. He has, you know, nearly 3 and 4 decades of experience in the financial sector, in the accounting firms. And importantly, more recently, he's been working with the Small Business Mentoring Service. And we were lucky enough to have him on our books, and we stood him up very, very quickly. And I'd like to hand over to him because he's probably got a bit of a reflection on the more than, I suppose, 140 businesses which we've now he's been able to contact. And importantly, the advice that he's been providing has certainly been quite general, and we've relied certainly on the accounting and financial sector to make the move on that, of course. But it's really for businesses who were swamped, didn't know what to do. It's been a great starting point and a great signpost. I know you've actually been through the process yourself, Jared.
I remember that first week that it all kind of went down, and you and I were in contact, and I was getting really nervous. I'm like, oh, what do I do? And then Hughes, you said, oh, contact Colin. So I'm like, okay, I'll contact Colin. And Colin, I'm going to pass over to Colin in a second, but Colin had this whole list of things that I could do. Thank God you told me that, Hugh, because I didn't know what to do. I was a bit overwhelmed. And I was appreciative of you just saying, oh, we got Colin. Don't worry. Talk to him. And then Colin set me up, and Colin, I've been able to have some great luck because of you and Hugh. And today I wanted to talk with you about when Hugh called you, what was your first point of call?
When Hugh first made the call to me, I said basically businesses just want to know what's available, am I eligible, and how do I get it? Mm. So the first thing was we developed a quick reference guide, because there are so many different forms of assistance out there, from federal government, state government, banks, tax office, state revenue office, business.vic.gov.au, something like 10 or a dozen different websites where you can get assistance. So the quick reference guides will take you straight to there, and more importantly, in how to claim and more information, it's all hyperlinked, so you just click on there and it'll take you straight to additional information that you need.
Do you want to talk me through a couple of things?
If we could just quickly run through some of the things. For example, right. JobKeeper payment.
Mm. Because and the thing that caught me off with the JobKeeper is that you only had a really short amount of time to get it in. And I got really nervous, but that's changed. That's changed, hasn't it? Now we've got time, a bit more time to get our JobKeeper paperwork in.
Yes, originally the JobKeeper, they were saying you had to make the payment by the 12th of April.
Mm.
But the legislation wasn't passed until the 9th of April. Oh. So we had 3 days for a million. And now there's over a million businesses are registered for JobKeeper.
Wow.
And equally importantly, they were saying you had to make the payment by the end of April. That's now been extended to the 8th of May. So as long as you make a payment to the employees by the 8th of May, you can still get reimbursed in the first or second week of May.
Wow.
For that payment.
Anything you want to add to that, Hugh? Anything that we're missing?
I think the only one is probably just around some of the criteria as well. In relation to the JobKeeper, of course, businesses had to show or demonstrate 30% loss, didn't they, Cole, in relation to that quarter, the March quarter, which was pretty easy to do for a few. Some had more difficulty, though, particularly if they were looking at seasonal payments and so forth, so they need to be aware of that. But, again, that is more general advice, and their individual accountants will be able to help them with that particulars.
Next on the list down there, what's the one under that you've put under there?
The boosting cash flow for employer is the second one on the quick reference guide. I think it's quite clever the way the government has structured this. They realised very early on, this is the first one they instigated, that they needed, businesses needed help with their cash flow sooner instead of later. To go through the normal channels of filling out paperwork, sending it to the government to process would have been massive.
Would have been painful.
Absolutely. So what they said was, if you put an amount in W1 in your BAS for the end of March,
yep,
which shows that you've paid wages from the 1st of January to the 31st of March, that's the trigger for the payment. It was as simple as that.
Yeah.
That entitled businesses for $10,000 at the end of March, $5,000 at the end of June, and $5,000 at the end of September. Very simple process, no paperwork, automatic payment, and the payments were made within 14 days to businesses' bank accounts. So that was great help for their cash flow straight away.
What else is important on that list there, Colin?
The other one that has probably slipped under the radar is a state government business support fund of $10,000. Mm. Eligibility for that is you must employ staff, so the businesses with employees, turnover above $75,000, wages less than $650,000, which is the same as payroll tax, and business being severely affected by coronavirus.
Mm.
And I think there's now over $100 million has been paid out of that fund. That's a grant, it's not a loan.
Okay.
Straight $10,000 grant.
Okay, the accountants are probably really busy at this stage.
Absolutely, but do you know what? You know, they are terribly busy. We know that, but it is just so critical they at least get 5 minutes worth of advice from them just to make sure they're on the right track. And again, the advice that Colin's been able to prompt them with has been really useful, because it just gives people a checklist to actually have a quick discussion with their accountant. They're not wasting anyone's time, and they can put them on the right track very, very quickly about whether they're eligible for the different payments or whether they're not.
Thanks, Hugh.
I think that's an important point that Hugh's made, because we're not trying to replace the relationship with the accountant. We're just simply providing a checklist of information to go through that you can then go back to review with your own accountant.
Is there anything else on that list that we need to cover by any chance?
Probably a common discussion was along the lines of landlord and tenants. With rentals.
The rental was a big one.
Absolutely. I spoke, especially in the early stages, a lot of tenants where the business had closed, having difficult discussions with landlords. Subsequent to that, the federal government now has a mandatory code of conduct, and that looks at, in simple terms, they're saying you can either defer the rent, and then at the end of that period, when things get back to whatever the new normal is, you can have a catch-up to pick up those missed rent payments. The other one was, if you said that my sales have dropped by 60%, that gives you grounds to have the discussion with your landlord to drop the rent by 60%. And there's also the Victorian Small Business Commission offered free mediation services.
That's really good, because we just moved into our new office 2 weeks before this went down, and then turned out we weren't going to be there for a few months. So what I did, I thought, I'll just write to the landlord, and they're a company in Melbourne, and they were really kind. They said, yeah, we can waiver it for 3 months. So I guess if you just write to your landlord too and just start the discussion and see what happens, I think I'm hoping most of them understand the situation we're in.
Yeah, I think the main point is communicate.
Yeah.
Must communicate. Also, if the landlord agrees to reduce the rent, the government through the State Revenue Office offers concessions for land tax and so on for the landlord. So there's benefits for the landlord as well as the tenant.
Jared, it's probably worth just covering off that there. Colin's only just touched on, you know, some of the support which has been made available by the federal and the state government. And I think what's probably really important to understand is that there will businesses, if they haven't already done so, will need to apply for some of these. Others will automatically occur in relation to some of the funding and some of the support which is there. It might be worth just reiterating, or Colin, to reiterate the ones that people do need to act upon versus the ones that perhaps automatically occur.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Colin.
Yep. Well, that's why I've included in the quick reference guide, do I need to apply for it? And I've got yes, no, depending on various things. So, for example, the boosting cash flow payment, you don't need to apply for that. It's simply a case of lodging your BAS. But with a JobKeeper payment, you do need to apply. And how to claim, click on that quick reference guide link. It'll take you straight to the application, and so you don't have to go hunting for it straight there. Yeah. Same with the business support fund. We've got a link there. Click on that. You do need to apply. You click on that. It'll take you straight to the application to register for it.
I might come back firstly to some of the other support which has been offered. The economic development team have pivoted very quickly and became a different team, really, to try and do some business support very, very quickly. Some of those opportunities which are there, again, I'll point back to the website, which, of course, is businessgreaterhamilton.com.au. But some of those that came up very quickly that businesses had, when all of a sudden doors closed on businesses, because we traditionally in the Greater Hamilton region have always worked face-to-face with our businesses when it comes to managing relationships and customer relations and how we sell, is very personal. When the doors shut, of course, people weren't quite prepared in some instances about how they were going to. They had to get much more mobile. They had to probably look about going online. And we realised very quickly that we found a lot of businesses needed some assistance, some support in doing that. So we've stood up a couple of things which I think are worth mentioning and people might want to have a look at. One is a digital marketing audit. So for your existing digital infrastructure, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or your website, we've teamed with Hypersocial, which are a team down in Geelong based, who have done some work with us before and are well known to those who have been into many of our social media and other workshops before they've actually conducted them. We've got free audits for you. So all you need to do is contact us via ecodev at sghgrampians.com.vic.gov.au, and it's all on the website anyway. But that just gives you an opportunity where you'll have an hour one-on-one consultation. You'll go through doing an audit on what your current infrastructure is. You'll also then be able to get a report back with some tips and tricks, some suggestions, and also to just pointing you in the right direction about what you might need to do.
Yeah, there's a lot more behind social media and websites, and just it's not just a picture with words. There's it's very complicated and very in depth. So, and I guess a lot of people in businesses don't have that skill. So if you get someone for free, Hugh, that's pretty impressive.
It gives you a good hour or so of their time, and it gives you a written report, much like Colin has done for your financial support or your business funding opportunities. Those reports are really going to be vital. On top of that, of course, if one of the things that come out of that digital marketing audit is that you want to look at standing up a website very quickly. We've also partnered with a number of web designers, and we're offering some web design for you and stand up very quickly. They're valued normally at about $1,500. Mm. Other web design, other agencies are also suffering through this as well, and they've been able to discount their prices to almost a cost to say, let us get us through this. We've also subsidised that further. So for $250, you can stand up an e-commerce website very quickly, and you'll need to take hold of the domain name and so forth annually from then on. That's an extra cost, but that's minimal to actually get you out and about and get you selling and getting your product out to the market, which you need to.
$250 is pretty good.
Yeah, they're templated websites, so you must understand. Or if you've got an existing website and need some tweaking, we'll support that as well, particularly yeah. some of our other web designers. But again, contact us, and in the first instance, we'll talk you through what's there. But that opportunity is a really, really big support. So counselling right behind our businesses, particularly into the digital economy. So that's critical. Jerry, of course, there's a lot of information which Colin's talked about today. We've been regularly putting a bulletin out once a week. But that's important to understand. That's pointing it back to the website. We're constantly changing the information which is on there. There is a power of information which is on that website to support. There's also a business Facebook group which we've established as well. I think there's over 500 people now who are participating in that also. And we've also been profiling those who are doing things differently as well and celebrating the innovation which is there. This is going to be a 1 in 100 year pandemic, and that's what it's sort of proven to be in the world. We're also seeing this hopefully as a 1 in 100 year opportunity for some businesses, but businesses really, as we start looking at the recovery phase, are going to have a good hard look at their operations. They're going to have a good hard look with some really difficult conversations with themselves about where they're going to be and start doing some planning. We've been very lucky in this area because we're very, we rely very strongly on agriculture. It's underpinned a lot of what we do. Not every business has got a plan, but now's the time to start thinking about each aspect of your business. And indeed, that is probably where we're heading to next with a session of workshops and so forth. We're planning that at the moment, but I think it's important the first one of those is really almost a reconnection piece, and it's encouraging businesses to have those difficult conversations. It's encouraging businesses to not just seek the help, but accept the help. It's so hard. We've got such a proud, proud business community here, and it's so hard. Often, you've stood by yourself. We're a very resilient lot, and it's very hard to accept help sometimes. But right now, this is a 100 year, and again, there's no playbook for this. You need all the help you can get, and really encourage those who haven't done so already to at least try and get an opportunity to talk to others, talk to your accountant, and don't try and do it by yourself.
Yeah.
It leads to terrible issues with your capacity and your mental health sometimes too. We know businesses are supporting not just their families, they're supporting their work families. They're also supporting their community because they're leaders as well. And if they feel they need to have some assistance and help, they need to reach out where they need to.
I think you made a really good valid point there with the emotional health, because those first few weeks, and I think we all felt it, and I felt it, like I didn't know what to do and where to turn to, And I think it's really important in coming from a rural community. I grew up around here. Is that we tend to shy away from mental health a little bit. But in the last few years, it's becoming more and more evident. So is there anything that people can reach out to on that also?
We've been trying to work actually in advocating for some greater mental health services. Sometimes for businesses too, it's not a matter of just, ring up the phone to Beyond Blue. People aren't at that point. They're not about making appointments with the GPs. Sometimes they don't realise sometimes it's just a matter of just having a good chat with someone to make sure you're on the right track. Some of the work that Colin's already been doing, and indeed our team when we've been ringing also, is just to know that they're not alone in this. They've got to realise that everyone's suffering, not just here and in this region, not just in Australia, but around the world. We're all in the same boat, and we're all feeling really, really, at different times we all feel anxiety. If that gets too much, that's when you need to look to try and act, and you need sometimes someone to remind you that there is opportunities which are there. We still struggle a bit for mental health resources in this region, but they're around, and certainly people need to be aware of those. We would like to see that some of the money which has been provided by federal and state government in that area actually does come into fruition in this region, because we've been short for a long period of time, and now's the time we really probably need to look to stand up something which can provide that support.
Yeah, that's great to hear. That's really good. Yeah, go Colin.
Especially in the early stages, Jared, a number of people and businesses I spoke to, we went through the checklist of the financial side relatively quickly, and I could give them a report of what they are or are not eligible for. However, the discussion on the phone went for much, much, much longer because we were talking about how are you coping, you know, the mental health side of it. And sometimes that took up more of the phone call than talking about the financial side. And the feedback from businesses were saying, I've really appreciated just having someone to talk to. Now, we think that we're part of a community and you can go and talk to anyone, but they just felt alone, and finally someone had contacted them with help and just to get things off their chest, which was, you can't put a figure on that. So I think that's a very important point that Hugh made.
It's very important. I'm glad we touched on that, actually.
Yeah.
What's next, Hugh? What do you want to talk about?
I think what's probably important that we want to focus on is, again, if businesses are able to go back and have a bit of self-evaluation about what they need to do, it's never been more important to have control of your business and your business finances particularly. You know, Colin's already mentioned, you know, several times to different people that there's not really a normal that we know, and it's a new normal. It's business as unusual for a period of time. We're probably in for a more of a long haul than what we think. You know, there's a lot of macroeconomic issues that are going to have an impact on us in a recessionary and, let's hope, not depressionary climate. And that being the case, businesses need to be ready for it. I think we've got some great opportunities, though, in doing that. We're going to find, for a variety of reasons, people will relook at regional areas, they'll relook at different sectors like they haven't looked at before. And look, indeed, Colin's got a whole swag of thoughts on that. And I think what we're trying to do, though, in relation to that is we will probably do some initial workshops just on probably reflecting on some of that, but also too in starting to help businesses start to think about how they might change what they do. I know Colin's got some thoughts on what businesses might do.
Yeah, Colin, talk me through what businesses might do.
Well, there's a lot of discussion in professional publications and so on about working from home, which we haven't talked about yet, but I'm forever the optimist. We've got great opportunities, but we need to work much closer as a community to achieve those opportunities. And we're looking at running those workshops and getting people thinking about post-CV, because things will be different. The level of debt that the federal government and state government have put towards this is massive. We don't know what it's going to be like the other side of it, but the important thing is we need to communicate, work together, and we'll work through it.
And just to reiterate, so there's going to be once we can start to gather again, there's going to be workshops that you guys will put on. And how do we find out when I guess you'll put on your Facebook when the workshops start here?
Oh, we'll have a variety of ways. We'll communicate that to our community, which we have done so now, whether it's through radio, print, or social media. We've, of course, going to be releasing very shortly some industrial land on Port Ferry Road. That'll actually go up for sale probably the next month or so. I've been working on that over the last couple of years. It's effectively a site which will be fully serviced, all ready to go. You just need your building permit and off you go. So that's a real opportunity for people. It's going to have a 1 gig high-speed broadband pipe going into it.
Right.
And that's, of course, going to change the game completely. I'm unaware of other industrial sites which have got that level of capability to it. So there's going to be some real value, I think, in people having a look at some changing. The other thing to bear in mind too, of course, is that generally after a crisis like this, governments do spend more on public infrastructure. So Southern Grampian Shire, for a period of time now, has been preparing, and we have continued to prepare for what that opportunity might be. So, of course, stage one of the CBD redevelopment, we need a little bit more money for that to complete Cox Street. Hopefully there might be an announcement on that shortly. That'll get things rolling. We've been planning for CBD redevelopment too, which is involving around Melville Oval. We have already had an announcement on that. Yeah. There's some very big construction generational projects, which, you know, in the end, construction is going to lead, as it always does, us out of a recession. But what it does allow and facilitate is greater than investment for some of our lag industries, such as the retail sector and others, but it then provides more space and so forth for that. we may be repurposing, you know, space for retail in the future. There may be new opportunities in the digital economy. There could be other innovations which are there. We've been doing a lot of work in that space for a period of time, and I think we're in a really good position to be able to try and seize on some of that. And so really that's the opportunities which we see. So, you know, all credit to our councillors who have been on the journey with us for a period of time. It's taken a crisis like this maybe to realise some of that, and it won't be very quickly, but there's some good opportunities which are there as well. So, no, real credit to the leadership we've had here for a while.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Hugh. I've got one last question, if there's nothing else that we need to... Who's Hammo the Gorilla? That's all I want to know, Hugh.
Well, I'll just give you a little hint. If you have a look at who's running around the town, you know it's not me.
Definitely not me. Well, thanks for talking to me, Colin.
No worries, Jared.
Thanks, Hugh. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, Hugh. Thanks, Colin. And if you need any more information, go to visitgreaterhamilton.com.au. And as we end, there's a disclaimer I need to read out. The information provided in general in nature and does not constitute personal financial advice. Information has been prepared without taking into account your personal objectives, financial situations, or needs. And for more specific advice related to your individual circumstances, you should consult directly with your accountant and or advisors. I'll talk to you in the next podcast. Bye.